Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
It does. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're here this morning with two wonderful people, Becca and Carlos Zapata. How are you two doing this morning?
Doing great.
Doing great. Thanks good. For having us.
Yeah. And my partner here, Wynn, and the Hat Man, Travis. How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, what a morning already. I'm doing great.
Yeah, keep an eye on the chat room, man.
That's what I'm doing, yep.
And Frankie.
It's going to get hot.
And, yeah, no doubt. And Frankie is our sergeant of arms out there. Don't mess with Frankie.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better. 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And we're here again in the beautiful downtown area of Reading, which is getting really remodeled a lot.
It's getting way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. So anyway, Carlos, Becca, you two, tell us something about yourself.
About ourselves.
About yourself. Go ahead. I know you don't like
you
to
want
do
to
this.
Start?
You started out as a child, right?
We started out once upon a time. No, listen, we're here hopefully because we have something to say based on what we've been doing over the course of the past 18 months. It's been an eventful last 18 months, couple years for us, and I don't think we're unique in this, feeling like we've been through battles over the last year. There's a lot of people in this county who've struggled to keep their businesses open, who've, you know, just fought to keep their jobs, fought for other people to keep their jobs, and I think we sort of became players in this game, you know, from last August when I went to the Board of Supervisors and spoke, and you know, I feel like I've told this story a million times, but you asked me to. So, you know, for people who are listening who might not have seen that, you know, it was last August, and we went there to basically speak our minds and tell these supervisors, hey, look, what you're doing is unconstitutional. It's wrong. We need to maintain our civil liberties. We need to maintain our rights. We need to be able to run our businesses, or else there's going to be hell to pay. And I wasn't wrong, and it wasn't a threatening message. It was a warning to them, for them to be able to make a good, educated decision, which they failed to do. So here we are, you know, not quite a year later from that day where we've been in this battle now. A lot has happened since then, you know. Myself, along with a couple of really good friends, you know, John Knight and Jeremy Edwardson, and then, you know, supporting crew, we started the Red, White, and Blueprint, which you may have heard of. And this was basically started as an idea where we all got together and said, hey, how can we create a blueprint for other counties to follow? You know, not only for us to follow, but for other counties to be able to follow, something that we can duplicate, replicate across the country. And thus the Red, White, and Blueprint was born as a documentary. A documentary series, you know, it's going to be a 10-part series where we will hopefully give people an instructional, you know, an instructional guideline on to how to take your county back. And at the focus of this right now is a recall, right? The recall movement where we are not only recalling the governor of the state, but recalling the supervisors, three supervisors here in our county. And we're chronicling this, the process, the ups and downs, though the wild ride that it is, and it's been just a really fun project for us. You know, I mean, we're getting to meet people we otherwise would have never met. We're getting to interview people who are telling us things that we never thought we'd hear. I mean, this is really insane stuff. We've had people come out of the woodwork, you know, whistleblowers coming left and right who work in the county who are like, oh, man, I can't give my name. I can't, you know, tell you who I work for, but here's what's going on. You know, don't tell anybody.
Yeah. Well, it's sad that they have to protect them.
And they're so scared.
Yeah.
They're so scared, and it's amazing. So all this is coming out. So this documentary that started as a chronicling, as a documentary focused on recall, really has become an expose of sorts, where we're really starting to expose the corruption. Now, we knew it was there. We all had a hunch that it was there, and we knew it was probably, you know, fact that it was there, and now we're actually seeing it, and we're having people come out, you know, willingly, without us even, you know, going out and
so they're contacting you.
Oh, they're contacting us. They're
many
us.
Other counties too. I mean,
many other counties.
Yeah.
Because this is not unique. I mean, I think anytime the problem is government. Yeah. It's not Shasta County government. It's not Butte County government. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, Orange County. The problem is government. The way that government has been formed across the country, really, and it's become just such a corrupt institution at every level. And we need to just undo this whole thing and hit the reset button, you know. And that's really what we're a part of. So there's been a lot of confusion over the months, you know, is are you guys the ones doing the recall? Are you guys? No. We're not, but in essence, we all are, right? I mean, we're all part of this movement. Every citizen in this county who wants these supervisors to lose their seats because of what they've done to us is part of this recall. So in essence, as individuals, we are, but as an organization, we are not. The organization that is in charge of that is really Open Shasta or Recall Shasta now. Mm-hmm. You know? So, and that's led by Alyssa.
And I think the unique thing is that the recall really is the last constitutional process you have. You know, what we want to do is we want to have government that represents the people. We want to have a government that abides, as you said, Carlos, to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California. We actually want to have people that are going to do the will of the people that we put in office. And there's a lot of ways to persuade, a lot of ways to talk to them. There's a lot of ways to go and try to get them to hear us. The problem is we had to go to the last effort, or maybe it's not the last effort, but It's the one option open to us at this point.
It's the mechanism that we're choosing right now.
We have to, because everything else failed. And, you know, we have certain supervisors, Modi, Cometti, and Rickard. And each one of them are unique in some of the things they've done to us. Maybe you two would like to
uniquely stupid is what they are. You know? Before we go on, you know, my beautiful wife, Becca, is sitting next to me right now.
Yep.
Maybe she can – well, I'll talk about her for a second. She's a nurse here at the hospital, and she's off – also been really instrumental because she's brought a medical insight to this whole thing. Because, and I hate to beat the COVID drum. I don't want to talk about COVID. I'm thinking that we're getting past that. But we've had people in the medical field who have been courageous enough to speak out and say, look, this is all BS, you know. Like, and really, COVID was at the heart of what we were doing, right, or why we were doing this. Because that's what the reason for the lockdown was. That's what the reason for all the shutdowns across the state was this COVID, a super dangerous virus, right? So it was good to have people like my wife keep, you know, staying in my ear and saying, no, look, we're doing the right thing. You know, mm-hmm. this really is BS, and mm-hmm. we really need to fight this thing. So
I don't know. I mean, this last year and a half has been crazy. You know, I think people see us now as these activists, and I suppose we are, but we never really were. We're not. You know, we're a normal family. I've been a nurse for almost 20 years, mom, we were childhood friends, you know, we have a blended family, we have four kids, he was a business owner, you know, prior to this, we just led a normal life, you know, we weren't in the spotlight for anything, you know, we have a ranch, he would go out and rope every day and take care of the animals, so it's really kind of been a huge shift, and then it puts us in the forefront of, you know, with social media, you know how it is with people, and
sure.
You just take, you know, Carlos, I think really for the most part, in all this both movements, the blueprint and the recall, has just taken the brunt of
unbelievably.
Of all
absolutely.
The,
and
all
listen, I'm not a victim here. I don't.
No, I'm not saying that. We're not saying that.
We're not saying that. But you know, it's a reality. It's really changed. You know, affected us personally. And for me, even prior to any of this recall stuff, I really felt crazy. You know, in the sense that all the stuff that was going on with COVID and what we were being told just did not jive with what I know. The real science was the science before COVID happened. And I just couldn't understand why so many people in the medical community, I mean, there's a lot more than you know that feel the same way I do, that understand what's really going on. But so many people just kind of like capitulated to this and went along with this narrative and, you know, supported this whole message that it was so dangerous and we had to go along with all these lockdowns. And I was just like, am I losing my mind here? You know, this is...
Well, they have a way of making you feel crazy, right? Not only in the medical field, but I think in society in general, where we live in society where we don't know what's left or right or up and down or, you know, I mean, we really get into a point of confusion. And this is the left, you know, I call it the Maoist, the Marxist playbook, is you need to confuse people. You need to take away any kind of moral foundation, any kind of, you know, frame of reference, and completely remove it so that people don't know what's right anymore and people don't know what to say because they might hurt somebody. And when you speak truth, you know, people put you down, you know, and they're able to derail you with lies. And we watch the news, we don't even know if we should believe it or not, you know. And we become very untrusting, not only of the media, but of each other. And this is the playbook. We're seeing it happen. I mean, today's a big day in South America. In Peru, we're going to see today. Peru's going to choose a president.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to know whether they're going to go communist or try to save their republic, you know. And this is happening across the world, guys. So what we're seeing here, we're seeing a complete takeover. And I've said it over and over again. I mean, it's funny because over the years I've had conspiracy theorist friends, you know, who I always thought were crazy. But what I'm seeing now is all this stuff's coming true. And right before our eyes, it's coming true. And it's even more serious now, Terry. And let me tell you that when we started this thing, it was because we wanted to keep our business open. Now we're in this existential fight, you know, with people like Wynn, with people like Terry, with people like, you know, who are in part of this awesome movement. Because we're literally trying to fight for our lives and our kids' lives at this point. You know, it's really, I take it that seriously now, you know.
As we all should.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the duplicatable process is the amazing thing to me. I mean, so many people have watched the Red, White, and Blueprint in Butte County, Placer County, Yuba County, Sutter County. You know, people like Lori Harris, you know, people like Dave Bryant, Pastor Dave Bryant. You know, you know, people like Courtney Allen, all these wonderful young people that are stepping forward, Amanda Stahl, all these great young people that are stepping forward and saying, hey, enough is enough. Stop masking our kids. Stop treating us like we have no choice. This is a freedom of choice situation. I talked to one young lady yesterday who was a liberal, and I was really surprised about what she said. She said, you know, I'm from the Bay Area, and the thing is that, you know, it's a little more prevalent there. COVID's a little more prevalent, you know, whether it's the tests are accurate or not is another thing. You know, but, you know, it's
the sheep mentality is more prevalent.
Exactly. And, but anyway, her point that I thought was interesting is she said, well, you know, but one size doesn't fit all. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty interesting because here we are in an area where it's rural, where basically we all seem to be healthier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and I did want to ask you, Becca, there is some talk about like some of these cases, and I'm not really trying to get off into COVID, but a lot of the cases, it's more of a case listing. In other words, how many people have tested, how many cases have we had, as opposed to what's real and how many people have really had COVID or really have passed from that.
Right. So there's several different aspects to this that make the numbers false, basically. One is that the tests were inherently inaccurate. The cycle times for the tests were way too high. They just ran them over and over until they picked up any trace of virus, doesn't really make you positive.
Wow.
And the inventor of the PCR test said it was never meant to be a diagnostic tool. So we used tests that were not really accurate. And then if you test one person multiple times, that counts as multiple cases. So, like, if you were positive, even if – the vast majority of these positives are asymptomatic people. They're not people that were sick. So then you test a person, let's say they said, I'm exposed to someone with COVID. So they get tested and they come back positive. They feel fine, but they're positive. They're quarantined. And then in the course of maybe that 2-week period, for example, they have to be tested 2 or 3 more times to check their status or clear them for work or whatever the situation is. And let's say of 4 tests that they get, 3 of those tests were positive until they had a 4th negative test. All 3 of those tests are 3. That's 3 cases.
Oh, my gosh. So we're looking at cases and not actual positives. Right.
So there's that aspect. There's also the aspect of asymptomatic transmission, right, which is why supposedly everyone's masking and doing all this. But there's been multiple studies that show that it doesn't spread at all with asymptomatic people. There was one that came out. They tested 10 million people. That's a huge study. In Wuhan and surrounding areas, so like the height of it, and they showed that there was not one case. And 10 million people, that could be traced back to an asymptomatic person. So then that begs the question, why were we doing any of this, really?
Control.
Yep. And then you have the other aspect of it, the hospitalized with COVID numbers that seem very high, But in reality, it's the same kind of situation. So if you come into the hospital because you're having a baby, for example, or you have to have knee surgery or, you know, anything, everybody that comes in the hospital starting back last year got swabbed for COVID. Well, I'm just going to pull a random number. Let's say 30% of those people came back positive. Those numbers get sent to public health, and those get put in the hospitalized with COVID category. Well, they're not in the hospital for COVID. They're not sick with COVID. They're not being treated for COVID. But that's not what those numbers show, and that's not what the public thinks when they read those numbers. So it's just – it's criminal. I mean, I just don't know any other way to say it. It's a lie.
There's a lot of criminal activity. Yeah. I'm going to read something in a minute.
There's money attached to each one of those results, right? I mean, if you have so many that are – like you say, testing positive, then there's money that comes from somewhere, which is always us, the taxpayers, but it comes from some agency, say, you know, to the county or to the hospital or to the doctors, whomever receives it. There's always money attached to that, isn't there?
I watched such a great little clip this morning. It was on David Harris Jr.'s Instagram. I hope everybody goes and looks it up, you know, where it's this panel on CNN of ladies who probably identified as liberals, you know, and they are changing their political affiliation because of this whole vaccine mandate. It's awesome. I mean, people are waking up. And I've said this over and over again, that they've overplayed their hand to the point where even people that follow them at first are saying, hey, look, you know what? I was going to follow you for a little bit, but not down this road.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, this is some dark stuff here. You know, I mean, it's nuts. So,
but what about the people that are still drinking the Kool-Aid and going down that avenue? I mean, the mental...
I don't know.
The mental... absence, I guess, for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out there spewing hatred. They're saying things that aren't true. They're lying about stuff. And they're still going down that road of belief that this is all true and factual, but they're not looking at the data. They're not listening to people. They're not being willing to be open-minded about some of this stuff. So what about them?
Yeah, and then one of the comments on that panel was the lady said, you know, this thing has a really high survivability rate. You know,
99.
And she said, I've already had COVID, you know, so I'm going to depend on my antibodies, you know, to keep me safe. And the lady says, interviewer says, well, you don't know how long those antibodies are going to be good for. And she said, well, you don't know how long the vaccine is going to be good for.
That's right.
It's tit for tat, you know.
Exactly.
And we don't know anything here, you know. We don't know anything. I mean, this is still sorely on. They're keeping this thing in the experimental state. So when I hear somebody say, I got the vaccine, I'm like, why? I can't even think of one good reason because, you know, we just don't know.
And they're still masking.
It's still experimental. You're still masking. It's not making your life any easier. You know, you're not.
Well, think about the people that are taking the vaccine. They become shedders.
Yes.
And then they think they're safe, so they go out in public, and then they're exposing other people. So they're the ones that are causing the problems. Okay. When they're getting the vaccine, they are shedders for a minimum of 2 weeks, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2 weeks they're out there shedding all their garbage, and they're infecting everybody else that are healthy.
This is crazy.
And so you just look at that, too. Okay, yeah, great. We're all out there getting vaccines.
No.
And
well, the
then
whole
we're
thing
shedding.
With the vaccine, whether you want it or not, I'm not even going to go there. It's that you can still get COVID with the vaccine. You can still spread, let's say supposedly with all this, right? Because honestly, at this point, I don't even know what the frick's true anymore. But you can still get COVID. I mean, they know that's true. You can still spread it. Mm-hmm. It just lessens your symptoms. So but you still have to wear a mask.
Yep.
It doesn't really change anything except for maybe if you, you know, want to go to a big concert or fly with a certain airline or whatever. But I'm saying, what is the point of it, really?
Control.
I know that, but
well,
I'm saying people that are getting them, like,
more
what
than
are they?
That, I think it's a very sinister deal, not to go down a rabbit hole, but I think we're going to find out real soon that there's going to be a lot of people dying from this thing.
There is.
You know, this is population control.
There is.
I mean, they don't want to pay your retirement. They don't want to pay your pensions, you know, and your Social Security and your Medicare. They don't want to pay that stuff. So they're going to kill you off. And you're stupid if you think that that is just some crazy tin.
Here's the thing, and you hit the nail on the head a little while ago. We don't put anything past them anymore.
No.
We put nothing past the government anymore. I think that what you're saying has validity, frankly.
Absolutely.
And I have heard people that are liberals in office say to me, there's just too many people.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too many people.
Yeah. Too many people.
Well, how do you make less
people?
That's why
they kill millions of babies a year, you know?
Yeah.
I
mean,
exactly.
This is it. And I don't care how you feel about it. It's murder. It's horrible. And it's the biggest sin of our society, you know?
Yep.
Is the fact that we kill millions of babies every year.
Well, the thing is...
But it's the very same people that say, oh,
yes,
my body, my choice,
right,
who are telling me I need to inject crap into my body. You know, but you can't have it both ways.
That's right.
Yeah, one person told me one time, he said, if all the people that wanted abortion were aborted, we didn't have a problem.
Exactly.
But you know, when you look at a situation where the government and the people that run the government and the people we elect are controlling so many things and doing so many things illegal, and I like to read something. Sure. And you know, it's something that has really been, and this is something that happened to Carlos, but
it's the elephant in the room. Let's talk about it.
It is the elephant in the room, so we're going to talk about it. United States Code Title 18, Code Section 242. Acts under the color of law include acts not only done by state or local officials within the bounds or limits of their lawful authority, but also acts done without and beyond their lawful authority, provided that in order for the unlawful acts of any official to be done under the color of any law, the unlawful acts must be done while such official is purporting or pretending to act in the performance of his or her official duties. Leonard Modi reached out to Nathan Blaze, Nathan Pinckney, as a sitting supervisor to assist him, support him in a situation where Modi has determined that Carlos Zapata is guilty of a crime. Therefore, Modi, using his authority as a former police chief and a current sitting supervisor, has specifically harmed Carlos Zapata. Modi did not reach out as citizen Modi. He reached out as supervisor Modi, using his authority, therefore influencing a due process right of Carlos Zapata. Title 18, 242 is specific. It's a felony, a federal felony. So what say you, my friend?
Sure. I don't think you'll find any prosecutor who'll take that case, you know, personally. I think you're right. But in this justice system that we're, you know, a part of now or you know, a party to now, we're not going to find any prosecutor on a federal level who's going to prosecute that case. Modi is a pretty powerful guy. You know, he has a lot of connections. Mm-hmm. He was a police chief here for a lot of years, you know. Mm-hmm. And
who got fired from being a police chief?
Yep.
Just as a general reminder.
And you understand the whole story, what happened, right? I mean, it was all about his padding his retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to give him a job over here now, you know, at a 14% raise. Retires at higher. So, I mean, he's a double-dipping son of a gun now, you know, maybe even triple-dipping.
But, you know, and you're right about somebody not taking this because the jurisdiction's under the Attorney General of the State of California. Yeah. Good luck there.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But, you know, I'm really, I feel like I have exhaustion from talking about, you know, what happened with me and with Nathan. It was such a non-issue. I got blown into something. But this is, I don't want to give Nathan any more, you know, space than I need to, you know. But what I will say and what I will address is the fact that this is how the left fights, okay? I'm a very, like, natural law type of guy. This is the way I've always been. I wrote papers about this when I was in junior high and high school. You know, I've always been of the same mind. I believe in the natural order of things. Well, the left's job is to disrupt the natural order of things, you know? I mean, if you're ever around animals, there's a pecking order. It's just the way it goes. It's natural. It doesn't mean, you know, that one's better or one's worse. It means
true.
This is just the way, you know, that things fall into place in life. There's winners and there's losers, okay? And this is the way that these losers fight. If they know they will never be able to beat me in business, they're never going to have a better business than me. They're never going to have a prettier wife, better, smarter kids, a nicer home. They're never going to have anything that's better than what I have. So their job now is to disrupt my life with a legal system that fosters this, right? When I can just be the biggest loser, crap talker in the world, the guy who's made a hobby out of harassing people online, thinks he's funny, thinks he's some kind of comic, right? He's got, like, no followers. I mean, go look at my Facebook page. Go look at his. I know it sounds childish to compare, but people aren't following this guy. But he thinks he's the center of his universe, right? So in his mind, he's like this grandiose comic, you know, who's, man, now I'm going to parody everything that these people are doing, okay? And I know we're getting a time hack here, you know, so
We also have a caller.
But real quick, and I'll continue on this conversation because I think my wife and I want to address this, how it's affected us personally now, you know?
Right.
And how we're going to move forward in this movement because we're undeterred. We're going to keep fighting, and it's important to understand that it's very easy for these people to try to derail you, you know, but you have to be really tough. I mean, you have to be just a really hard person, you know, to be in this position that we're in now. And anyways, you know, this whole Nathan Blaze thing, you know, you have a loser trying to take down a winner, you know, and that's what it comes down to. So,
okay, well, with that, we're going to go off to our first break, our only break, because we're only taking one today.
There you go.
Anyway, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
good. Okay, so.
It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's some handwritten letters from home. It's some sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. Lay down his line. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. To the swamps of Louisiana, to the golden coast of California, Uncle Sam's the only family he's got. His purple heartbeat won't stop, and his 18th birthday was the day he was born.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed Queen, now $1,799. Plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Took my first breath where the muddy grass spills into the Gulf of Mexico, where the skyline's colored by chemical plants to put bread on the table of the working man, where the working man does his best to provide safety and shelter for kids and a wife, giving a little of a soul every day, making overtime.
Keep the wolves away.
Isn't that what we're doing?
That's exactly
every
what we're doing.
Every single day we wake up, we open our eyes, we need to keep the wolves away.
Are those the same wolves that were re-released back into the United States by the liberals?
I don't know.
Just
ask you
for a
there's more to come.
A few million friends of ours here.
Does it get personal, Becca?
Yeah, it gets personal. Are you kidding me? I mean, we're having to deal with all this legal system now, you know, you pay attorney's fees.
And they love this. Yeah. Oh, calls, and they're making, they're parodying this. They're mocking me, right? Oh, this is going to cost them money now, you know, yeah. These guys are losers. You know, they're people who would never say these things to our face. When I was a kid, if you wanted to say something to somebody, you had to say it to their face.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you duked it out. You know?
Yeah.
And this is why they call me a bully, is because I'm not afraid to fight. I love to fight. There's nothing I love more, aside from my wife and children, than fighting. Okay? And they know this about me. And we live in a society where most men are afraid to fight. You know, if I have something to say to somebody, I'm going to say
they've been neutered.
They've been neutered in a society now that's pussified everything.
Yep.
Everything. You know, kids can't fight. You know how you beat a bully up? You punch him in the mouth. You stop a bully, you punch him in the mouth. You know, the best day of my life when I was a kid was when my dad told me, hey, when that kid does this to you tomorrow, you run up to him, you punch him in the mouth. You know? Oh, Carlos, that's a savage way of thinking. It's so primitive. It's so primal. It's so, well, whatever. Well, you know what? It works. You know, and not because I want to go out there and beat anybody up, but because if you're going to say something on social media, I damn sure hope you can say it to my face or my wife's face. And again, go ahead and say it to her face.
That'd be worse. We do have a caller on the line, though. Chris, what say
you? Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know. I might be taking too many steps backwards, but back to the COVID issue. I think the bottom line base reason this whole thing started is the demographics of China. They have a serious issue with the elderly and how they are going to.
Right, right.
We have no idea how many elderly Chinese people were killed by the Chi-Coms before this ever made it to the public.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No one's ever going to know.
Right.
And the other thing is we got these power-hungry people such as, you know, the Soros and Bill Gates and so forth. And Gates has been known, he's spoken publicly that we need to take out a sixth of the world's population.
He's made no secret about it.
Yeah, he's made no secret. And you're right about that.
And Fauci's very closely connected to Gates.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this thing was made up in a lab, and I think it is to wipe out the elderly, and I think we have some power people in our country that saw this as an opportunity to maybe extend Social Security and Medicare and all these other programs that we have no idea how we're ever going to fund.
Yeah, well, that's a good.
And the sad part too is, well, not sad part, but the part is some of those people making those decisions are elderly. So let's start with them.
But they have theirs; they don't care.
Right, but let's start with them. Then they won't be here, and then the whole problem will be solved.
Be a good start.
Anyway, Chris, thank you for your comment. We've got another caller, Mark. This is Mark Baird.
Hello.
Good morning, Mark.
Is this you, brother? Kimasami, this you?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, it's me. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just wanted to chime in real quick. Great show this morning, by the way. But, excuse me. We had a really successful civilian participation in a county affair here recently. And I just wanted to say that if it wasn't for volunteers from Shasta County, we would never have been able to do it. We did that 2 weeks running. It was extremely successful. It was wildly successful. And one of your supervisors may make this an agenda item upcoming, and this is your crack. There are cracks in their armor. I mean, the Communist Party's participation with the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency is coming to light regarding the funding of the Wuhan bioweapons lab. The fact that it is a bioweapon is coming to light. We just had an overturn of the California assault weapons ban in federal court of the Southern District. There are cracks in their armor, and they're big cracks. And what you're doing is you're driving a wedge into those cracks. And we, the people, are like water. We fill those cracks, and when we freeze, the cracks get bigger. And pretty soon, that narrative is going to explode if we continue to do exactly what we're doing now, which is challenge government, get citizens involved in government and governmental action so that they can see the inner workings of this stuff and expose the liars and the lies like Modi. Yes, there are detractors. We have them ourselves. Ignore them. That's what Carlos is doing. He's saying, hell with you. I'm going to do what I'm doing anyway. And that's the way to make this happen, and you're doing it. Just double down. Keep going. Get more people involved, and it'll work.
Amen.
Thank you, Kimasabi. Appreciate that. I'll give you a call later. Got some things to chit-chat with you about. But
Mark is such a phenomenal patriot.
Oh, amazing.
Thank you, Mark. I mean,
amazing.
I've kind of gotten to know Mark. I consider him a friend now, you know. And
amazing.
We got to spend some time together up in this thing he's talking about. And I mean, we're talking about a man who could easily just, you know, enjoy the rest of his life out on his ranch and just, stress-free and it'd be fine. I mean, rest on your laurels when you've done everything that Mark Baird's done, you know, but here he is keeping the fight going and what an amazing Patriot.
Make a great governor, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He hung up.
Nope. Like, sooner the better.
I love you, brother. I'll call you later.
But, you know, to your point, Terry, he would make a phenomenal governor, but unfortunately, we don't get the best of the best people into politics at any level, right? Because who wants to go through that? I mean, shoot. I mean, just what we've been through personally here on the low level that we're at, you know, just the personal attacks, the attacks on our children, you know. Our children see this stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. I have a question about that. Speaking of your children, if you don't mind me asking about the other night.
Yeah, so my daughter's graduation, and these scumbags, that's what they are, they're low-life scumbags.
Yeah.
I mean, you got some homeless-looking dude, Marv or whatever, who runs around with this other clown, Pinkney, you know, who looks like he's... never mind. So, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, these guys are low-life losers, okay? And you're going to go to my daughter's graduation and try to serve me a temporary restraint order when you're the ones harassing everybody in this county.
He had the gun.
You know?
And
he had the gun. The police report came out.
Good grief.
That police report, and then they were wanting RPD to retract. They say, why would they retract facts?
Right.
The only thing RPD admitted to is that we left out details. You know, but nothing, that doesn't change the outcome of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know? And, I mean, I'm really appalled, you know, by the fact that somebody like this can even do a little bit of damage, but they can.
So he you know? Personally served you with a TRO?
He did not. It was some lady, some ugly woman.
And the thing is that someone told me about Donnie's article, which I don't read anything she writes because it's trash, but, and they were like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, it affected your daughter. And I was like, it didn't at all. She didn't even know what happened. It was like not even anywhere near the kids. You know, on that level, it was like a non-issue. She had a wonderful graduation. There was no freaking drama, but you know, I'd like to speak to, because anyone who knows me knows that I cannot stand injustice or double standards. Like, it infuriates me. So the fact that this has even gotten to where it's been, I mean, let's look at the spirit of the law in regards to a restraining order, right? I mean, who needs a restraining order? Where did this come from? Women who are being abused by their spouses, their significant others, being stalked, right, that legitimately need protection.
Certainly not a man. If you're a man, why would you ever get a restraining order against another man? You have to come to the point in your life that you admit that you are afraid of another man. You've never had a father in your life. You never had a father figure in your life. You never had anybody whip your ass when you were a kid. You never had anybody teach you anything about right from wrong. And that's how you get that way. That's what's wrong with society today, is that you have somebody like this can make my life very difficult, you know, simply by doing what? By accusing me of something, right? Because you're too scared. He's, you know.
But here's the thing.
This is what we're raising today, though. He's not alone in this. This is a society that we're raising. Next generation is screwed. How are we going to defend this country? You know, we have people like that who even have a voice.
They're
you know?
The same ones that were eating Tide Pods a couple of years ago.
Exactly. You know, back in the day, we didn't give people like this a voice. Back in the day, people got run out of town. What happened to that? But then we all got scared.
Yeah.
Oh, because we don't want to get in trouble. You know, we have leaders within this movement who are now in hiding at home because they don't want to be in trouble.
Right.
I don't blame them. I don't fault them. But this is the position they put us in.
Yep.
They put us in a position where we have to hide because we don't want... You know, the fury of the law, if you will, you know, to come after us, you know, and it's a horrible position to be
in. Yes, and so to continue my point, A, why was he ever even granted this in the first place?
Right.
The second that the police report came out, he had to lie to get that TRO. So why is he not being held accountable?
Right.
Filing false police reports, miscarriage of justice, he's wasting all these taxpayer dollars, right, for now, this court hearing, everything that has to happen. For a lie. He's not afraid of Carlos.
Who's
Carlos
funding
never
this
done
guy?
One thing.
Who's paying for his lawyer?
Yeah.
I mean, I know she's a really cheap lawyer because she's horrible. I mean, look at her record. She's horrible. When my lawyer found out who his lawyer was, he laughed. She's terrible. I mean, she's probably next to free. I mean, honestly, she's probably on food stamps, you know? Like, no joke. Okay? Go ahead.
Well, we got a couple of callers. And,
but Beck, did you get a chance to finish what you were saying?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, it's really appalling. This is not a justice system. It's a joke.
Well, we're going to come back to that, too.
Yeah.
Because I want to come back to you on that. Let's go to the callers, but then I want to come back to you on that because that's a great point. And I made some notes on what I wanted to ask you. Lori, what say you?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay.
You've been covering some of my material, so we're lined up in sync.
Okay.
Yeah, this is absolutely a saga of Mr. Blaze, and we are over the target, and he's making more people his targets in these crummy, stupid, idiotic videos where, if you remember that old saying, Carlos, imitation's a form of flattery, he's devoted so many videos of the plaid shirt and the hat. The guy worships you on some subconscious level, apparently, because he can't let you go.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
Get it?
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's got a crush on you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I've heard that about him.
Yeah.
So, I just want to say, you know what, Becca, you're awesome. I worked in the health field. I'm embarrassed I was ever a part of the field on how disgusting it's become, the cover-ups, the fraud,
yeah,
and all what you're discussing. And I hope the Red, White, and Blueprint can maybe cover the fake news. Donnie is a part of Allies with this. She is not a newspaper. I don't know why she's called the News Cafe.
Donnie is disgusting.
It's the piss.
Socialist.
I mean, a fourth grader could do a better job.
And so she has never, ever, ever reached out to any of us to interview
her. She won't interview you. I read
no.
that she won't interview. She's afraid. She won't even interview you. I mean, why wouldn't you interview somebody you're writing about?
I mean,
she basically
is the National Enquirer. Nothing that she writes is even remotely accurate.
On a good day, she'd be National Enquirer.
Her cage liner.
It's really sad. I just want to say that there's many players. Modi might be funding this Lisa Jensen attorney. I don't know what her record
is. We're
going
to kind of get to that.
She
was
a
foreign public defender.
Yeah.
Scumbag.
Yeah, we're going
to
get
to that. Okay, we'll do there. And so, I mean, some people have to start somewhere. I'm not saying that's not the problem. But, you know, if she's doing pro bono, if he's been fired, who's going to hire this individual, Nathan? He's reckless, erratic. He should not have a gun. This is absolutely, he's a danger to himself at some point, danger to others. I've been a target in his videos. He's lying all the time.
So is my wife.
YouTube. Thank you. We need a group of us to get together, and maybe we'll have a meeting. I'll keep it brief, but I just want to say that this is not okay. Like you just said, this is not how people get to have, they can say anything they want. No, you can't. When you're lying, you're ruining a person's business.
There's consequences.
There's
consequences.
Slander.
Yep.
And but that's what lawyers are for.
But if you defend yourself and speak the truth, then you get labeled the bully, right?
Yeah. Well, here's a little gem, folks, in closing. That wall of truth that was at two Board of Supervisors meetings ago, there was a restraining order that Nathan put upon an ex-female girlfriend, relationship, partner. So, again, this is a pattern. He has some character flaws.
He's scum.
He needs help. He needs a psych eval.
Right.
I'm a therapist clinician, and he is not going to get away with this.
Well, I hope the judge
feels
the same way on Friday, because my lawyer will go to court on Friday, and at that point they'll decide whether the TRO becomes an RO.
And the judge has to hear it, because there's a lot of people that will fabricate, lie, and make up anything because they'll play the victim, which Nathan does all the time.
Yep.
He shows up, racism. He created quite a stir at the Sprouts Market thing last year. He's everywhere to instigate, distract, and create chaos. That's why he's a part of Antifa and BLM, cover story of Seattle Times last summer. So there you go. The guy needs support.
And the problem is this, and I've said this, is that I'm not the guy to worry about. You know, I'll say it right now. I am not the guy who's going to come after you. You know, you should be thankful that I'm around. I'm the guy who's stopping people. You know how many people want to go after that?
You're
son
the
of a
sheepdog.
Gun? You know, that really want. My 15-year-old son wants. My 15-year-old son's dad let me fight him. You know, I want to fight him. You know,
there's plenty of people that are. I understand.
There's
a lot of watching traffic.
My son whip his ass.
That's right.
You know? He needs to move, leave, and knock it off. And YouTube needs to drop his story channel. It is not comic, satire, or funny. It's abuse, cyber stalking, and it's evil. And that's it.
Okay,
so,
Lori.
We'll catch
Thank
up
you,
with
Lori.
You all soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
Hey, I want to get Becca, and Jesse's hanging with us, brother, but I want to bring up 4 points, and I want Becca to think about it, because I want to give Becca and Carlos the last couple of minutes here. She made some really good points. Becca made some great points. Number one, why was this TRO even granted? Why was it granted?
Yeah.
Let me just go through all four. Okay, and then think about it, and then we'll go to Jesse, and we'll come back, and you guys can expound. Okay, why was it granted, number one? Number two, he had to lie. He had to lie. I mean, you saw the police report. You saw what they said. And who's paying for everything? The Shasta Forward is paying for it? Why did these guys lawyer up? Who's paying for their advertising I heard 3 ads in an hour. Each one of those supervisors that are being recalled, each had their own ad. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for all this? Also, the police said on, I believe it was Wednesday, on Carl Bott's show, I know the police chief was very upset about the fact that the LA Times was disputing what was written by by his investigators. Mm-hmm. And he even made the comment, the LA Times will never get an interview with RPD ever again. And the fact that all these different things that were written, the only thing that he didn't release was some facts that he didn't want to release yet, mm-hmm. or couldn't release yet, because it's on the DA's desk. And the last thing is that really and truly, the best thing said here by these two has been that they are basically the ones who are kind of standing. They're interposing between this injustice and the rest of us. They've been standing there. And Carlos, when we talked about how you take the brunt, my good friend. We're not saying you're a victim. You're just taking the brunt. You're being.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know. I know. So are the rest of us.
Yeah.
But the point is that we're with you. We stand with you. You're standing for right. You're standing for the right thing, and you're doing the right thing.
Well, I appreciate that.
You bet. Anyway,
go ahead,
Jesse. What say you, my good friend?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Jesse, how you doing, buddy?
What's happening, buddy?
Well, you know.
Hey, just listening to this, you know, and it's funny because I've had one of these restraining orders put on me in the middle of the custody battle. You know, girl be at my house one night, and then the next day, also I have a restraining order on me because I started winning in court later that week. The left has learned that they could do this as a way of trying to cripple us and taking away our two-way rights. And that, even in Nathan's videos, that's what he laughs about.
Oh, yeah, this is a political stunt.
It is. And I think any judge is going to see that. You know, when a guy's standing 50 feet away from you, hiding behind a car, videoing you while you get handed your restraining order, that's not someone that's scared of you or feels you're a threat.
Yeah.
So this will get thrown out. You guys keep sticking with this. Keep trudging through. I got your six, brother. You know that.
I appreciate it, Jesse. And yeah,
there's a lot of people that do, bro. Don't think this is going to go one way. It's going to get thrown off the other way. And honestly, that's what these people don't realize is how much we stop them actually happening to these people. I mean, if anything, we should get in some thank you cards.
You're right. You know, and it really is a testament to how powerful this Patriot movement is in our county, right? I mean, I said this the other day where it's so easy to stop or derail positivity. You know, being a loser is easy. I mean, it's really easy. So I can have the most expensive car in the world, the fastest, best motor, you know, leather interior, whatever, and that car is zooming down my road. All I got to do to stop is throw some nails in the road.
Yeah.
You know? That's it. It doesn't matter how good or how, you know, finely tuned that car is. If I just throw some nails out on the road, it's going to stop it for at least a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They throw nails in the road over and over and over again because they know that they don't have a movement of their own. They don't have a car of their own.
Right.
You know, there's not a vehicle for their message other than to just try to derail us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's your Donnie Chamberlain's, right? I mean, God, what the hell would you write about? Write about if it wasn't for us, you know?
What are they for? They're not for anything. They're just against us. It doesn't, you know.
I want to see their plan.
Yeah, they don't have an alternative.
So now you have these socialists trying to keep three Republicans in office. Why wouldn't they be with us on the recall and then put their people in? That's what I want to know. You know?
Think
about that. So two things. What does that say about them, or what does that say about the supervisors?
Yeah, the supervisors, right. Exactly.
You know, the fact that you have socialists trying to keep you in.
Yeah, are they really Republican, or are they just rhinos?
They just know that you can't get elected in this county unless you're Republican. But they're not Republicans.
No, they're not. Yeah.
Well, they're not conservative.
They're not conservative, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. The police chief was, you know, when you take something, and like he said, he had to take two investigators and put them on this. He didn't want to do it. It's just two guys in this issue, and he didn't think it was a low-grade misdemeanor at best, and he just didn't think that there was a big deal there. But here's the question I have. The question I have is that we've had a lot of people who are public officials and elected officials that have, for example, the two investigators from the DA's office that went to visit Alyssa McEwen and Ronin Lund. Why? I mean, you see, with all the different things going on in this county, the DA's office has got to be backed up a year. There's all these different, there's a lot of people in jail. We have a lot of felonies that are still out there on the books. They're having a hard time selecting juries because of COVID. You know, they can't get anything done, but why would you take two investigators and send them out? I mean, that's a question I've got. It's not so much, it really is, how do you prioritize your caseload.
M-O-T-Y.
Yeah.
Modi.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff going on the backside that they're pushing it. There's an agenda.
Oh, yeah.
Bingo. That's it, Rebecca. You nailed it on the head. There's something on the backside that they're trying to cover up. This is all smokescreen. Nathan's getting used by them as
a
smokescreen.
100%.
It's really happening. So, hey, you guys keep it up. Rebecca, Carlos, you guys keep strong with your
Thanks,
guys'
brother.
Family.
Thanks, Jesse.
I'll call you later.
Sounds good, brother.
Thank you.
Take care. Everyone, you guys have a good one.
You too,
right,
Jesse.
Brother.
Thank you.
Hey, come in anytime. You know that, Jesse, right?
We'll do, brother.
All right, brother.
Bye.
So, Becca, Carlos, this has been a very, very interesting ride so far, and I think we're only at the beginning in getting liberty back in our country. And I think the red, white, and blueprint is really something to where a lot of people can duplicate this, a lot of counties can duplicate it, and we can get back our God-given constitutional rights.
Yep.
So we've got about 4 minutes. I want you guys just to expound on what you think about that.
We're going to keep fighting. There's no way that we lay down, and trust me, that there's moments in our private conversations where I tell Becca, hey, I'm ready to just take a step back from this and walk away. You know, not because I don't believe in it, but because I look at my kids and I'm like, man, this is taking so much energy and time away from my kids, away from my family. And if you know me personally, you know that nothing matters more than just being with my family, mm-hmm. doing the things that I love to do with them, you know. So there is times when I've threatened to say, you know what, that's it, man, I'm done. Not because of Nathan Blaze, not because of Donnie Chamberlain, but simply because this takes so much energy. I have businesses to run. I have kids to raise. I have a wife to love, you know. And when it starts to compromise that, it really makes me question why I'm doing this. But at the end of the day, I have a wonderful wife who stands by me and says, mm-hmm. well, we have to keep fighting for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because imagine if we take the low-hanging fruit right now, which is a little bit of time together, you know, and with the kids, which is really, I mean, really important.
Mm-hmm.
But we totally just destroy our legacy in doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we destroy the future for them. You know, so we give them a nice little life right now, but what kind of life are they going to have 20 years from now
right.
if we let these communists take over?
Well, I mean,
let's call it what it is. We're fighting communism right now. We're fighting.
Okay.
Well, guys, listen, I listened to a guy the other day, a Peruvian guy, who was talking about what's going on in Peru right now, and our family's from there, so, you know, I care about it. And the playbook that they're playing there is exactly the way that we're being played here in the United States today. And if we don't think this is a serious deal, if we don't think that we are living in communism, we're living in the beginning stages of communism
mm-hmm.
right now in this country,
mm-hmm.
you know, if not the intermediate stages. And if we think that it's just going to go away or that things are going to turn in the next election, we're dead wrong. We're going to get caught in this thing. So I hope that you hear the seriousness in my voice now. You know, I know I can, you know, talk tongue-in-cheek and we can joke and, you know, we can get excited about certain things, but I'm telling you right now that we are fighting communism here at every level, you know, and it's infiltrated every part of our community. So we're going to keep fighting. We're going to fight hard. You know, listen, we are tough people. If you know Becca, if you know me, we're not the kind of people that are going to lay down and let you do this to our kids or to our community. So,
yeah. That's what I've told him. You know, I said, you know, I know how this can take a toll on him and, you know, and on our relationship, you know. But I said, if we get bullied into stopping, then who's behind us? Who's going to step up and do it, you know?
All right. Well, that's just it. You fortunately or unfortunately, you're the face. Collectively, you are the face of what's going on. You're the face and the voice.
Well, I appreciate that, you know, and I am humbled and honored by that, you know, and the fact that people want to follow what we're doing. Because it's important, you know, and it takes all of us. It really takes everybody. If you think that you can't make a difference, you are wrong. You can make a huge difference. The only difference you're making by sitting at home and not doing anything is you're giving them a win.
Yep.
That's right.
You know, so we all have to be involved here.
And they're coming for you anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
Thank you too.
Thank you guys for having
Thank
us
you.
On. Appreciate it.
You guys are awesome. The time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. Had no say. You don't serve us, you serve LA. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.